Welcome back, everybody. This is Biko. We're on the four of our Pass Your Life and Health Insurance Exam podcast. I'll Pass Your Life Insurance Exam Challenge. So it's a five-day challenge that's meant to help you, to prepare to pass your life insurance exam. So we're on day four. We started on Monday. And the challenge, we'll run the challenge once every month. If there is a lot of demand, then it could be once every 2 weeks. So 5 days a week. So we want, at the end of the 5 days, you should be able to, be prepared or pretty close to being prepared to pass your exam. So we've had two students so far. One, Lexi, she came on day one and two, but something came up, so she couldn't continue. So now we have Miss Beverly from the great state of Texas, the Lone Star State. She's here with us, day three and day four. She too wants to pass her life insurance exam and she wants to get her license. So just to give you guys a quick wrap up, again, if you're listening to us on YouTube, if you're listening to us on our podcast or on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you're listening to us, I'd like to encourage you to please like, follow, share, and then subscribe. If you're listening to this on YouTube, subscribe. So in that way, you get notifications when the next episode comes up. So a few other things to let you know about. So the challenge, as I said, will be once a month. It could be once every 2 weeks. But the goal of the challenge is to prepare you within 5 days. So we call it a challenge for a reason, because we're challenging you to do more than you've done for your studies, right? So you're going to have a lot of assignment at the end of each class. You have tons of assignment to do, a lot of assignment that will require a lot of time. So it's going to challenge you. But if you go through everything, you attend all of the classes, and you do all of the homework, you should be pretty prepared to take your exam. I'll say maybe about 80% prepared to take your exam. So that's what we do. Check the descriptions here, the links. We have some things there. We have blog articles that we write every week. So take a look at those articles. If you're watching this on YouTube, take a look at the link for the podcast. If you're listening to this on the podcast, take a look at our YouTube channel. Subscribe. You can also watch this on YouTube. So if you are a member of our Next Level Academy, then this is 100% free, right? It's just $29.99 every month. So you get to attend all the challenges and you have other training. So anyway, let me not talk too much. I have Ms. Beverly here. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time, I would like Ms. Beverly to again introduce yourself, and then we're going to get rocking. So Ms. Beverly, you want to introduce yourself again for those who are joining us for the first time?
Yes, sir, Biko. I'm Beverly Irby.
Yeah.
And I'm from Keller, Texas. We've lived here for 22 years. And I'm looking forward to getting the class and getting the understanding and being able to be involved in this area of my life, because I am not only an instructor at the Bible College, I'm a pastor's wife also, but I have a lot of interest in investing. And this is what I want to put my money into so that I can understand it, learn it, and have a second career in this. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Beverly. All right. So let's get started. So we'll recap. As I told you yesterday, if you don't have any questions for me, I will have questions for you. So now is my time to turn the tables around, right? To ask you questions. So we talked about policy riders yesterday. We went over, I think, 9 different riders yesterday. So I want you, again, in your own words, without looking at your notes, okay? I want you to explain to the audience what is a rider in your own words. Like, explain. Assume that you are the teacher and I'm the student, and you're trying to teach me what a rider is. What is a rider?
A rider is an addition to your insurance policy. It's an attachment to your insurance policy. And it's another risk. It's a form of a risk because your insurance is actually risk. And with policies, you add on to it. Giving the example that you said that when you're buying a Big Mac or something, but when you get fries and ice cream with it, those are what you would call riders. And so with insurance, we have different riders. And what they do is the more riders you have, the higher your premium becomes.
True. Okay. All right, that's good. So yes, so and that's what I like to do. I like people to explain things in their own words, right? Because when you can explain it in your own words, that tells me that you really understand, right? So we said yesterday, a rider is just anything that is added to your standard life insurance policy, right? So we also said that anytime you add a rider to a policy, your premium will always be higher. So the more riders you add to your policy, you know, the higher your premiums. So now a rider can also, okay. So a rider can add something to your policy, but it can also take away something. So there's something called exclusion riders, right? So exclusion riders are things that will restrict your policy. So for example, they could add an exclusion rider to your policy and say, okay, you know, we're not going to cover, let's say you're a police officer, right? So they may add an exclusion rider to your policy to say, okay, we're not going to cover any death that results or any death as a result of your line of work. So if you die during the course of your job as a police officer, that is not going to be covered. But all other death, death by any other means, accident, sickness, whatever, we're going to cover. But because being a cop is a risky, job, right? So if you die, performing cop duties, police duties, we're not going to cover it. So for example, that could be an exclusion rider because they're excluding something from your policy, right? So exclusion riders, the most important way to think about it, add something, but sometimes it can also restrict or take away something. So maybe the best example would just be a rider, something that just modifies your coverage, right? So it can take away or it can add. Okay, so that's riders. Okay, so we talked about some riders yesterday. So in your own words, I want you to list some of the riders that we talked about, the ones you can remember. That's fine. We talked about nine, so if you can remember all nine, that's fine. But just list the riders we talked about yesterday, and then in your own words you can explain each of them. And without looking at your notes.
No, I won't look at my notes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh no, no, I was trying to write down that sometimes modify. So that's what I was writing down. My notes from yesterday is back. Mm-hmm. So no, I wouldn't look at that. But I'm trying to think what do I remember about the writers? I know I didn't even realize there were nine, but you had a lot of writers. We did have a lot. So one writer was when you can have your children, a payer rider.
Perfect.
Okay. And then there's another rider that, let's see, I have eight more. So might I have a couple examples? Maybe I can kind of explain.
Okay, sure. Okay, so I'll list the riders for you, and then you can explain. So we have the peer rider.
Peer.
So the peer rider. Then we have the waiver of premium rider, then guarantee insurability rider, accidental death and dismemberment, term insurance rider, other insurance rider, long-term care rider, return of premium rider, and cost of living rider.
Mercy. Yes.
Okay. Yes, that's a lot.
But understanding, so let's see, guaranteed insurable rider? No, it starts with an A. Guaranteed
insurability.
Insurability. Right. Okay, yeah. Guaranteed insurability rider. And that, there's another name for that. Is that the term insurance?
Mm-mm. Okay. There's no other, yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me in your own words, what is that rider like? No, what does that rider do?
It means that if something happens, because you have it, you will still get your benefits. If you're disabled or you cannot do that, you're still going. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then I don't have it. I don't know it.
So the guarantee insurability rider, it just guarantees that, what the name says, right? Guarantee insurability. So it guarantees to cover you in the future. Buy you additional coverage. The key word is additional coverage. Because it's a rider you add to your policy. Like I gave the example, let's say, you are 20 years old, you don't have any kids, no major responsibility.
Remember you said that.
But you can, all things being equal, that at some point in the future, you probably have a family, so you need to increase your coverage, right, to get more, life insurance. So you can get that rider like, okay, I don't need it now, but I'm going to pay a little bit extra every month for my premium so that in the future, 10, 20 years from now, when I need to increase my death benefit, now, no matter what happens to me, I could have cancer or whatever it is, the insurance company will have no reason to deny me. I will be able to increase my coverage, get more death benefit. The only thing is, when I do that, my premium will increase. But I know I'm guaranteed for the insurance to increase my coverage. So that's called a guaranteed insurability rider. And that usually goes up until the age of 45.
I remember that part. Okay, yes, sir. Okay, that was a guarantee ability rider. That guarantee makes sure that you have insurance. Yeah. But with that, it increases your premium if you pay. Exactly.
So yes, the increase. Okay, so tell me everything you know about a long-term care rider.
Long-term care rider. Mm-hmm. The long-term care rider for long-term.
Mm-hmm. Long-term care rider.
What is it for? Think about it, Beverly. What is a long-term care rider for? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what it's for, but I know it has to do with in the future, but it's not like the guarantee insurability rider. So long-term care, if mm-hmm. you're in the hospital or something, it would take care of that.
Exactly. So if you have long-term care medical needs, it's going to pay you a percentage of your death benefit.
That's right. And it comes out of your death benefit.
Exactly.
The money in your death benefit.
And you receive the death benefit. Is it taxable or is it tax-free?
It's tax-free.
Perfect, tax-free. And what are the requirements for you to be able to get that death benefit? Under the long-term care rider, like what's the requirement?
Long-term care rider? Mm-hmm. You have to have had something for over 90 days.
Yes, and then what else?
It's going to be something that you're ill, it's going to probably increase, and maybe the hospitalization, but it's not just something that you can get over, it's something permanent.
Okay. But like in order to get that, what's the triggering event? So we have one, you have to be, sick for more than 90 days, long-term care. But what is the other trigger? You need two triggers for you to start receiving long-term care benefits. What's the other trigger?
You need to be hospitalized.
Yeah, I mean, you don't necessarily, I mean, yeah, you could be, but you don't have to.
Not going to be cured from. Isn't that right? Like it's some.
Yeah, I mean, you could be cured from it, but it has to last at least 90 days. But what's the other trigger? You must be able to not, you must not be able to perform something, like what's that trigger?
Oh, feed yourself
And
natural things that a person feed yourself, clothe yourself, work,
okay, and okay, and what are those called?
those are called everyday life things.
Okay, so on your exam, it's called the activities of daily living.
Oh, every
Activities of daily living.
daily living.
So in order to trigger that rider for you to start receiving benefits, you must not,
Be able to.
like a licensed medical provider must be able to certify that you cannot perform at least two activities of daily living. And we said, what are those activities of daily living? We have personal hygiene or grooming, right? So like you must be able to brush your teeth. You must be able to bathe yourself, stuff like that. So your personal hygiene. So can you perform, your personal hygiene? That's one. The other activity of daily living is, are you able to, to dress yourself, like put on your clothes and all of that? Then the third is toileting. Like, can you toilet without needing, any assistance? The fourth, the fourth one is transferring or being able to walk, and then the fifth one is eating, and then there's another one. Did I include bathing?
You said bacon.
Okay, yeah. So those are the six. So you have those six.
Okay, so number one, do your daily activities. One is personal hygiene. Two, walk, eat.
Exactly.
Okay, what I'm missing one.
Which one are you missing?
Personal hygiene, walking, eating, bathing, toilet to brush your teeth.
Okay, so let's go over again. So the personal, so personal hygiene, grooming, dressing, toileting, walking, and eating, and then let's add bathe in there also, bathing. Yeah, so those are six.
Two, three, four, five, six. Very good. Okay.
So once a licensed medical professional can can certify that you cannot perform
Two out of
two
three.
of those, and whatever medical condition you have has lasted for at least 90 days, where you cannot perform or where you could not perform two of those activities of daily living, then the insurance company will now start to give you some, again, it could range between 1% to 5% of your death benefit every single month. So if you have $1 million insurance policy, then the insurance company could give you 2%, which will be about 20,000 every single month, tax free, until your death benefit runs out, or until you recover, whichever one comes first. So let's say that may only last for 6 months. Maybe during those 6 months, you can't walk or you can't talk, you can't feed yourself, you can't bathe yourself. Then you'll get, but once you recover and you can perform those activities of daily living, then then your long-term care benefits will stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining it again.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I just want to make sure you understand that, because as I said, chapter two will make up about a third of your exam. So if you fail it, you're going to fail your exam.
So I want to learn these writers. I haven't learned them. I was equated. I haven't learned them, and I can tell. I only knew one when I was.
Mm-hmm.
So there are eight that I need to know. So eight more.
Yeah. So let's do one more writer. So in your own words, tell me everything you know about the cost of living writer.
Okay. The cost of living writer.
Mm-hmm.
The writer. That based upon the inflation,
mm-hmm. and
premium will not increase,
mm-hmm.
because the rider, you've already purchased it, the cost of living rider, so that even if it's inflation goes up and down, your rider will stay the same. Is that right? That's not right.
Mm-hmm. You're, remember, so it's a rider, so your premium will always increase, right? So think about it. The cost of living rider will automatically increase your death benefit every year as the as the cost of things increase, right? Or as inflation goes up. So if the cost of living, because we said yesterday, we know that prices will always go up, like house prices are going up, rents are going up, groceries, price of groceries going up, like the price of almost everything is increasing, right? So the cost of living rider is just meant for your death benefit to keep pace with inflation. So every year that prices go up, then your death benefit will automatically be increased by that amount. But when it happens, then know that your premium will also increase, because every time your death benefit goes up, because you have a higher death benefit, so your premium will also be increased to match that. And we said that they usually link the consumer price index, because the consumer price index measures inflation. So they'll usually match the percentage of the consumer price index. So if the consumer price index goes up by 5%, like we know, I think, was it 2023 or 2022? I think inflation was around 9%, right? So in that case, if inflation is 9%, then your death benefit will automatically increase by 9%.
Okay, so let me, may I say this?
Sure, sure.
So to get in my head. So the cost of living rider is a rider that keeps up with the cost of living,
mm-hmm.
which means like everything goes up every year. So mm-hmm. it will increase your death benefit.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, let me not look at my notes.
That's so, okay. Mm-hmm.
It will increase your death benefit, which means premium will increase.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of living, it's worth it because you're just paying
mm-hmm.
for your death benefit at the end,
mm-hmm.
and so that it will increase. And it will, as opposed to, as I said earlier, stay the same, the cost of living. I'm thinking backwards. That wasn't the way to think. I'm thinking you're investing in your death benefit. To me, that's what I get.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Because for me, the cost of living rider means I will be able to add money to my toward my death benefit
mm-hmm.
by paying more. How much?
Exactly.
Up to you to decide how much. Is that correct?
Exactly.
To increase it, but to have it at the cost of living rate. Okay. Rage. Okay. Does that make sense? Kind of. I'm not explaining it well enough.
No. So as long as you can explain it in your own words, so it doesn't have to be by the book, but as long as, again, it's just having a concept, right? Because once you understand the concept, then you can be able to answer any question that will come with it. So the cost of living rider will increase your death benefit automatically based on inflation. And what do they use to measure inflation? They use the CPI, that's the Consumer Price Index. So every year as the consumer price index increases, they'll automatically increase your death benefit. So if the consumer price index goes up by 9% this year, then your death benefit will be increased by 9%. But when your death benefit increases, also know that your premium will also increase.
Okay, so I really think I have a better picture, because what you're saying to me is that because you use the cost of living debt rider, right? Okay, the cost of living rider, you added that to that, to your policy. That's a rider that's added to your policy, which means that you're investing into your death benefit. Whatever the cost of living is, your death benefit will increase whatever the cost of living is. It's automatically increased, but automatically your premium will increase. So it costs you to do that. So it's worth it because you're paying for your death benefit for your family. Okay. I think I have a better picture.
Okay, that's good. All right.
But it's just one more.
You see what?
No, sir. I said nothing.
Well, oh no, you're trying to ask a question or something? I missed it.
I was just saying it took me a while, but I think I have a better picture.
I mean, it takes time to understand, and I tell you, like, most people have problem with chapter two, like the policy riders provisions. You know, most people have a problem with it, but I tell people you want to really take your time and understand that, because if you score less than 50%. On that part of the exam, your chance of passing is almost zero. So like you have to really, because about a third of your exam, you know, for example, if you live in Washington, D.C., about, I think, 35% of your exam will just be on that. So it's a big part of the exam. So So I can see that you still need some help with that. So you can go back to chapter two. You have to self-study, go back, watch the videos, you know, do the practice, you know, questions, the lessons and stuff. But make sure you're scoring at least 80% in all the lessons, to just make sure you really understand that. Yeah. All right. So let's move on here. So that was just a recap of policy riders. So now we'll move on to the next section for chapter two, which is policy provisions and options. Okay, policy provisions and options. So, you know, America is a big country. I mean, you have 300 and something million people, you have 50 different states, and every state will do things, you know, in a different way. So the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, NAIC, National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and that organization is comprised of the, you know, of the heads of all the state insurance commissioners, right? Because every state has a commission or department of insurance, So the person who heads that is called the Commissioner of Insurance. Now, in some states, they'll be called, you know, the Director of Insurance. They'll have different names, but it's all the same, you know, whoever is in charge. So all the 50 states, the Commissioner of Insurance, in all 50 states, they got together and said, okay, you know what? Let's try and create some national standard for life insurance so that, you know, if Texas wants to add a little extra, you know, to their, you know, standard life insurance policy, that is fine. If California wants to do something different, or New York, that is fine. But at least all 50 states, we can agree to some minimum standard that people who get life insurance anywhere in America should be entitled to certain provisions, no matter what state you live in, some minimum standard. So that is how come they came up with with standard life insurance provisions. Now, So you have the standard that will be across all 50 states, and then some states have additional provisions. So provisions is just another fancy word for requirements, right? What your life insurance must have. So let's take a look here. So the first one we're going to talk about is the entire contract, right? Entire contract provision.
Entire provision.
Yeah, entire contract. And this one, 100% will be on your exam. No, it doesn't matter what state you are in, 100% will be on your exam, okay? It's something that is always tested on the exam. So entire contract provision. What that means is, because we know that insurance, it's a legal contract. So it just defines, it says that the only thing that the insurance company or the policyholder will be liable for or held responsible for is what is in the contract. If it's not in the contract, whether your agent told you something else or the insurance company underwriter called you on the phone and told you something else, but if it's not in your contract, then it's void. So that is called the entire contract clause. And what makes up the entire contract very important, you should write this down, is a copy of your signed application.
Okay, wait just a moment. What makes up
the entire contract? So it's a copy of your signed application. Okay. A copy of your signed application, your policy, your insurance policy, any riders and riders and or amendments. Okay, so there are four things. So a signed copy of your application. So when you fill out your application, they're going to attach a copy of your life insurance application to your policy. And then any riders, let's say you want to get the guaranteed insurability rider or the long-term care rider, they're going to attach that and any amendments. Those four things make up your entire contract. So anything outside of that, right? Like your agent could write you a letter and tell you, oh, Ms. Bev, your policy will do X, Y, Z. If it's not in your contract, if it's not part of the application or your policy or riders or amendments, it's considered void. So those four things make up your entire contract, and it's called the entire contract clause. Any questions on that?
The entire contract.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the entire contract.
Where is it?
It's called, it may be called entire contract provision, entire contract clause. It's all the same thing.
Okay, entire contract provision or the entire contract clause.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And that, there are four things that's in that. A copy of the policy, a copy of riders, and a copy of amendments.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So that's the entire, and that is a standard provision. So it doesn't matter what state you're in. You can be in California, you can be in Idaho, Texas, Hawaii, wherever you are, in all 50 states.
This is a provision.
Prior to be in your life insurance policy.
Okay. So.
But it's a standard life insurance policy provision.
Say that again.
It's a standard life insurance policy provision that's required to be in all life insurance policies across all 50 states. So that's the entire contract clause. The next one here is. The next provision is called the insuring clause. Insuring clause. So what is the insuring clause? The insuring clause will just spell out exactly nor the risks that the insurance company is liable for. So in the insurance clause will say something to the effect of, let's say is Pacific Life. So Pacific Life Insurance Company hereby insures, you know, Mrs. Beverly X for an amount of $1 million, and we agree to, you know, pay $1 million to her beneficiary, you know, in the event of her death. So that's the insurance clause. So the insurance clause, it just tells the policy owner in writing what the insurance company will pay for. So okay. That is the insurance clause. And again, that is a standard life insurance policy provision, is in all 50 states, life insurance policies. So in all 50 states must have that.
So excuse me, the insurance clause is spelled out.
It's not insurance clause, insuring, I-N-S-U-R-I-N-G, insuring.
Insuring.
Yeah, insuring clause.
Insuring, and I call it insurance. The insuring clause.
Yeah.
Insuring clause actually spells out the risk for the insurance company. The insurance, company, what they would have to pay if for the insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells what's in the insurance policy, is it?
Exactly. So it tells you what the insurance company is liable for paying. It just tells you what the insurance company is promising you, you as the policy owner.
Yes, I have it.
Okay, so in other words, it's just the insurance company's written promise to pay benefits. Okay, so any questions on that one?
Is the insurance company written promise?
Mm-hmm, to pay benefits.
To pay benefits to the. So let me see if I have that right. Okay, I don't have any questions.
Robin, okay. So now, again, that's a standard life insurance policy provision, right? The next one is called free look. So anytime you hear free look, just think about refund period. So, I'm sure all of us have returned something at some point. Like you buy something from the store, you go and buy it, and then you take it home. You realize, I changed my mind. I don't want this anymore. So most stores will have a refund period. They will say, okay, you can refund you can return your items within 30 days and get a full refund, or 90 days, whatever, right? So it's the same thing with life insurance, right? So they give you a refund period, and for most states, it is 10 days. So they'll say, okay, for most states it's 10 days, but for Texas it's 15 days.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so for Texas, so that you have to know, it will also be on your exam. So I've already given you, if you attended day one, you are going to know. So right now you have 3 out of 90 questions on your exam. What is insurance will be a question on your exam. They may not ask it directly, but in some form, number two, the entire contract clause, number three, free look period, those three will be guaranteed on your exam. So just know the free look period is your refund period. And you have to know the number of days. So in the state of Texas, it's 10 days. In Washington, D.C., it's 10 days. In New York, in Iowa, it's 10 days. In Missouri, it's 10 days. In Nevada, it's 10 days. But for the overwhelming majority of states, it's 10 days. Some states will do a little bit more, like Texas has 15 days, because Texas always wants to be different. They're always trying to be special.
Texas special.
Yeah, so Texas is So Texas is 15 days. So you want to know that for your exam in 15 days.
Yes.
Okay. So the free look period is the period when the policy owner, after you get your policy, you have 10 days, or in the case of Texas, you have 15 days. Within that 15 days, you can call the insurance company and say, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want this anymore. And they should, by law, give you all the money you pay, all your premiums you pay up to that time. They should issue that premium back to you and cancel the policy. That
Okay.
is free look period is. Now, on your exam, you may ask which of the following starts the free look period. And it's going to be two possible answers. It depends on how they ask the question. It could either be upon policy delivery. So if they ask you which document starts the free look period, then it's going to be your policy delivery receipt. But if they just ask when does the free look period begin, then it's going to be upon policy delivery. Because hey, you're not going to like think about it, right? If you go to the store, your refund period does not begin until you actually purchase that item and you have your receipt. Because when you go back to the store, what's the first thing they're going to ask you? Show me your receipt, right? They're going to look at the date you purchased it. So it's the same thing. So that receipt for life insurance policy is called your policy delivery receipt, because every time your agent delivers a policy, they're going to give you a receipt like, okay, Miss Beverly, we deliver our policy on so date. Your agent will sign, you will sign also, right? So your free look period starts from the date of your policy delivery receipt, right? Or it starts from the date of your policy delivery, but almost always the day your policy is delivered is the day you're going to receive the receipt. So they are all the same.
So what if it
Go ahead.
says, okay, when is the date that your free look begins?
So the date will be the date of policy delivery receipts. So if they, again, they may ask in either way. So if they have the date of policy delivery receipt, then it will be that answer. Or they may not have policy delivery receipt. They may say date of policy delivery. It will be that. If they ask, if they have those two, and then they have A and B, so they may say date of policy delivery receipt, date of policy delivery, date of application. Then D will be both A and B. So the answer will be D, both A and B.
Date of application, because that was the next question.
Yeah, so your free look period does not have anything to,
Do
because yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with your application. The date of application is the date your policy is issued and delivered to you.
Okay, so. But what about consideration?
Perfect. And we're going to get to consideration. Let's see where does consideration come next. Okay, so perfect. So let's go to consideration. So consideration is the next provision in life insurance, right? So pretty much what consideration tells, okay. So when you think about the word consideration, right? When you think about consideration, think about exchange of value, right? In order for there to be a legal contract, you must exchange something of value. So in insurance, what is that thing you as the applicant are exchanging? You are exchanging, your application. So you're submitting your application. So your consideration is your application and your initial premium. Okay. This one has like a say about 70 to 80% chance of being on your exam. So
Exchange of value. No, say that.
yes, so exchange of value. So that means you give me something and I give you something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Must
So,
exchange of
yeah,
value.
exactly. So for you as the for you as the applicant, what is something valuable you're giving to the insurance company? Well, you're giving your initial premium and your application. So on your exam, if they ask you what is the applicant's consideration for a life insurance policy, the most correct answer would be submitting your application and paying initial premium. But if they don't have both of them there, and it, now if they have both of them there, then will be those two will be the correct answer. But if they have either one of them, like let's say if they have submitting your application and there's nothing there that has to do with paying premium, paying initial premium, then submitting application will be the correct answer. Or they may have paying initial premium, but nothing about submitting application, then paying initial premium would be the correct answer. But if they have both of them, then the most correct answer will be submitting the application and paying the initial premium. So that is the applicant's consideration. That is what the applicant is giving to the insurance company. Now, what is the insurance company going to give in return? Well, the insurance company is going to issue the policy and they're going to promise to pay death benefits, right? So that is what the insurance company is giving in return. So I gave you something, you gave me something. That's consideration.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Any questions about that? And then the other thing you need to know about consideration is that it is one of the four legal elements. It's one of the four elements of a legal contract. We'll get to that in chapter three, so I won't want to jump ahead. But know that it's also one of the four elements of a legal contract.
Yes, consideration, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Implication. So the offer and agreement. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Any questions on consideration? Is it clear?
Is there more for me to? Because if they have on the question said, okay, which one is to is consideration. See, when I think of consideration from all the little training I've had with the other exam FX, I think paying money.
Exactly. Money, but it's not just limited to money, though. Yes, money is the main thing, but also your application, submitting your application is also part of your consideration.
Okay. So then, see, that makes a difference. So yeah. I missed that on the test because all I thought about consideration, they said, think of it as money. I thought, oh, money. So. Mm. Oh, if they have no application and they have money and they didn't finish completing the application. So, okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, so we'll go to the next thing here on our list. And the next one here is owner's rights. So, when you own a life insurance policy, you have certain rights. So the owner's rights provision, we just spell out, we state in writing all of the rights you have as an owner of that insurance policy. So what are some of those rights? You have the right and it's a responsibility to pay premiums, right? You as the owner have the right to name beneficiaries. So you have the right to name beneficiaries. You have the right to change beneficiaries. You have that right. You also, go ahead.
How many owner's rights are there?
I don't know. Well, on your exam, they're not going to ask you, what's the number of rights an owner has. No, they will never ask you that. I'll go through all of them. Off the top of my head, there will be at least five, maybe up to 10, between five and 10. But I'll list the most important ones to you. So, paying premium is one of them. Paying premiums.
Paid premiums. Okay.
Yeah. So you are responsible for paying. Think about it. If you own a house, who is responsible for paying the mortgage? You, right?
Yeah.
You as the owner. So paying premiums. Also, naming the beneficiaries. Naming beneficiaries. For example, I know one of my clients. And this just happened last week.
Okay.
I guess one of her kids is not acting right. He's getting into crime and all of that. So she got upset, I don't have time for this. I'm moving for my insurance policy. So I'm like, are you sure you want to do that? I want to remove him from my insurance policy. I don't want to have anything to do with him. So she filled out the form and emailed it to the insurance company and they took him from a policy, right? So you as the owner, you have the No, you have the right to remove beneficiaries, add beneficiaries, name beneficiaries. So that's another right. The third right you have as an owner is you have the right to assign your policy. So you can assign a portion of it or all of it. Now, what does assign mean? In insurance, again, they'll use all these fancy terms, these big words. Assign just means transfer. It's just a transfer of ownership. So that's what a lot of people don't know. So if you have life insurance, you can actually transfer ownership of that life insurance to someone else, right?
Really? Okay.
Yes. Because it's your property, right? So you can transfer ownership to someone else.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's say you have your life insurance and you say, you know what, I want to transfer ownership to my daughter. You can transfer ownership to her. So your daughter will not have to go through like a new application and all that. She just transfer ownership. She takes over paying premiums and the life insurance is for
Perfect.
So that's called, again, so on the test, they're not going to use, you know, small words. Again, on your test, they're going to use these big words to confuse you. So when you see transfer, when you see
Assign.
it means transfer of ownership. So you can either transfer a portion or you can transfer all. All right. So that's the third ownership right. You as the owner, you also have the right to cancel your policy. You can wake up tomorrow morning and be like, hey, you know what? I can't afford paying this premium anymore, you know, or maybe I don't want it. You can, you know, cancel your policy. Again, they're not going to say cancel your policy. They're going to use the big word surrender. So for example, please just know that surrender means to cancel your policy.
Oh, cancel.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you're surrendering something, it's like, okay, I don't want it anymore. I'm surrendering. I'm giving it up, right? So when you surrender, you're giving up your policy.
That means you
Exactly. So you can, you know, yeah, you have the right to cancel your policy. Any questions so far?
No, sir.
Okay. So again, those are just some of the rights you have as a policy owner. Those are the most important ones you have to know for your exam. If you are the policy owner, you also have the right to you have the right to reinstate your policy. So let's say you can't pay your premiums and they cancel your policy, right? Then you as a policy owner, within 3 years, you can actually apply for them to reinstate your policy. So only the policy owner can do that.
That's a time.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, within 3 years. So as an agent, just a little field training. So as an agent, you want to tell your clients, hey, they may come and tell you, oh, you know, Miss Beth, I can't afford my premiums right now. I just lost my job. I'm going to lose my insurance, blah, blah, blah. Just tell them, okay, that's fine. Don't cancel it. Let the insurance company cancel it. Because if the insurance company cancels it, then by law, you have 3 years where you can apply for them to reinstate it. And most people don't know that. It's the same thing in Texas. So you have 3 years. You can again, we'll get to reinstatement. We'll talk more about it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Any questions?
No, sir. Reinstatement. Okay. Let them cancel it.
Exactly. So if your clients, even if they don't want the policy anymore, always let the insurance company cancel it. Because if they, you know, because people change their mind, right? If the insurance company cancels it, then within 3 years, if they change their mind and they want it, they can always, you know, go like I had the same thing with one of my clients, because she couldn't afford insurance payment. No, she wanted to call and cancel. I said, please don't do that. Let them cancel. So they cancel it. And then, you know, things turned around for her. She's in a better financial position. And I think she did that in 2021. Yeah, so it's been 2.5 years, beginning part of 2021. So it's been almost 3 years. So she did that April 2021. So she just called me like, "Oh, is it no? Can, I want to buy a new policy because I can afford it now." Blah blah blah. I said, "No, you don't have to buy a new policy. You cancel in April 2021, so you still have 3 more months. So let's get your paperwork in to reinstate your policy."
Oh.
So yeah, because when you reinstate, your
Yes.
premium will be the same versus now you're 3 years older. You get go and get a new policy. Your premium will be higher. So
Now,
again.
why will it still be the same? Why? Because you did not cancel?
No. The insurance company cancel, but your policy, everything will still be the same. All of the terms, the premiums, everything will still be the same.
But
So
what if
that's the advantage of reinstating than getting a new policy.
But because you didn't get a new one, you can keep the you can just reinstate it. But then, but it's based upon the age you were 3 years ago.
So that's the benefit of that's the benefit of reinstating. So when you reinstate, well, let me just put a caveat on it. So it depends on the insurance company, but most insurance companies, when you reinstate it, everything, so when you reinstate, it's like your policy was just dormant and it reactivated, right? So when you reinstate it, is you're not applying for a new policy because every time you apply for a new policy, they'll take into consideration your current age. So you're not applying for a new policy, you're just reinstating what you already had. So all those terms and conditions, your premium, everything will be the same. All you got to do is submit a new application to prove that you're in good health and you want to pay back all the, let's say if it was 2 years you were absent, you want to you, it was expired, you want to pay back all the premiums for those 2 years and then they reactivate you.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one of the advantages of reinstating than getting a new policy. But when you join the Growth Academy, that will be for new agent training. Those sorts of things we're going to go over. Yeah, so just know this one is not going to be on your exam. No, I'm just doing like which one is better, reinstate? No, but just a little few training. All right, so I know we didn't know it's 4 o'clock, almost four, so I'll stop here. Yeah, I'll stop here and then I'll have you ask any questions because from 2 to 4, I know we spent almost an hour trying to get some technical stuff out of the way, but we'll try and cover as much tomorrow. The good news is being a member of the membership, the Next Level Academy. So you don't have to pay anything, all these challenges when they come up, you're automatically being enrolled, right? So we'll probably have another one if there's demand, if we have people who are interested who sign up, then there'll be another one in about 2 weeks from now. So for that one, you can always reinstall. But the good news for you is you have access to the self-study. So
So
yeah,
I
videos.
do that every day.
Yeah.
The every day is not the next level 1 week program, right? That's
Yeah.
the
You said every day. Which one is every day?
Well, the every day is my self program.
Oh yeah. No, so your self-study is different. Yeah. Your self-study is different. So do your self-study course. Again, if you go through everything, the self-study, you will pass. The only difference with the self-study, again, that's what the word self-study, because you are studying on your own, right? Of course, we have the videos and everything, but with the challenge, I come live, I get, you get to ask me questions, I explain. If you don't understand something, I go and explain again.
Well, you see how much I didn't understand, so thank you for explaining.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, as I said, this thing is confusing, and that's why 63% of people fail. I mean, yeah, it's confusing, and that's why you need someone to really, explain it to you. Because most of the time, if you're just reading, no explanation, most of the time you won't get it. You really need someone to break it down for you.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, sir. So, and tomorrow it's
Yeah,
one.
so tomorrow will be the same time, 2 to 4.
But don't try to connect with you on my computer. Just do it on my phone.
Yeah, you could do on your phone. That's fine.
Okay, then I'll do that. But I can do class myself, study on my computer.
Yes, you can do the self-study on your phone, your computer, everything. So guys, for those of you listening to this excerpt of this challenge, I hope you're enjoying it. If you want to be like Miss Beverly and join and ask questions, helping one-on-one, then I urge you to join our Next Level Academy. We're going to have the link for you in the description. And you can, sign up. The good thing is we have a 5-day free trial, so you don't have to pay anything. Try out for 5 days. If you don't like it, cancel. You don't pay a thing, right? But after 5 days, if you like it, then it's just on $29.97 every month, which is less than the price of filling up your tank. So thank you very much, Ms. Bev. Before we wrap up, any questions? Anything you want to add, Ms. Bev?
I'm just very grateful for you and the way you break down things. It helps me to get a better picture. So when you ask me questions tomorrow, I probably should know more.
All right. I'm ready because I'm going to put you on the spot tomorrow.
They just know Miss Bev. They don't know.
All right, Miss Bev, you have a great day, and for everybody else, have a great day, and we'll see you next time. All right.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Miss Bev.